So yesterday, I believe it was, yesterday was Hanuman Jayanti. This was 5 days after the appearance of Lord Sri Ram. And so they asked me to speak on Hanuman today, so they chose a verse with his transcendental name in it. But today I was also requested to speak on Shyamananda, Pandit, who is also today's appearance. Also, Vamsi Vadan, his appearance. And today is Balaram's Rasayatra, where Balaram goes to Vrindavan to perform Rasalila for 2 months. So, here we go. We're going to try and do all of them and try to do a little bit of justice to each one. So this is from Madhya Lila, chapter 8, verse number 300. It talks between the Lord and Ramananda Roy. Translation. So this is towards the end of the 8th chapter here. It talks between the Lord and Ramananda Roy. Now, Lord Chaitanya is traveling. So it mentions, after rising from bed the next morning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the local temple where there was a deity of Hanuman. After offering him obeisances, the Lord departed for South India. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In almost all the cities and towns of India, there are temples of Hanumanji, the eternal servant of Lord Ramchandra. There is even a temple of Hanuman near Govindaji temple in Vrindavan. Formerly, this temple was in front of the Gopalji temple, but that deity, Gopalji, went to Orissa to remain as Shakshi Gopal. Being the eternal servant of Lord Ramachandra, Hanumanji has been respectfully worshipped for many hundreds and thousands of years. Here, even Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the example in showing how one should offer respects to Hanumanji. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gina Jala Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Mahaprabhu, in the role of the perfect devotee, teaches how to respect great personalities. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nohyanya. Radha and Krishna have become one in the body of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So he's practically the highest manifestation of the Godhead. But here, in his role as the perfect devotee, he shows by example. Teaching can be given by words, and teaching can be given by example. When both are there, that is called perfection. But of the two, the highest is example. So here, he's teaching by example that one should worship great personalities. In fact, that is our whole tradition. To worship the Lord is our mission, and to develop love for the Lord in worshiping the Lord is our mission. But higher than that is worshiping those who are dear to the Lord. So we should always remember that, because it's the fundamental principle of success in devotional service. To worship those who serve the Lord is higher than worshiping those and the Lord himself. Why? It's a very easy explanation to understand. Because if you love someone and someone worships someone you love, how much do you love that person? More than you love than if they worship you, because naturally your love goes to that person. So Krishna loves those devotees who have surrendered. He loves everybody. I mean, he doesn't make distinction on how he gives his love. But he does say that those who are fully engaged in my devotional service, who have reached, you know, they are very, very dear to me. So here's the principle of success in bhakti, to honor and glorify great souls. Now, Hanumanji is more than just a great soul. He's a great mystery to all of us. What is his actual position? He's the son of the wind god Vayu. The wind is probably the most powerful force in creation. We get a little bit of wind sometimes, and people get excited and get a little nervous. If a wind goes 125 miles an hour, everybody runs inside and prays that their building still is there after it leaves. But that's 125 is small. It can go up to 300, 400 miles an hour. It can blow down whole cities. It's so powerful, the wind. It can destroy this whole planet just by Krishna releasing the wind god. That's how powerful. So Hanuman, he is the son of the wind god Vayu. And he has tremendous power. But he uses his power only for the service of the Lord. We hear wonderful pastimes of how Lord Ramachandra was served so nicely by Hanuman. One of the principles of Hanuman's qualities and his exemplary expression of devotion is the determination to serve despite all the difficulties that may come by way of the service. When he was asked to try to help find Mother Sita after Sita had been captured by Ravana, it was Hanuman alone who actually found Sita. He was the one that crossed over the ocean. No other personality in the monkey army could actually do it. Even though there was one person who was just as powerful or even more powerful than Hanuman, and that was Jambavan. He didn't, because he was old. And he had been on the planet for millions of years, literally millions of years. And so he acquiesced to Hanuman, and Hanuman did it. And when he went to jump across the ocean in order to reach the island of Lanka, it wasn't like he just went, you know, and flew easily. Obstacles. Now, obstacles in devotional service, we understand there's different ways to perceive these things. And we all get obstacles in our Krishna consciousness. Sometimes there's health challenges. And sometimes there is relationship challenges. Sometimes our desires are not fulfilled in order to achieve what we are our goals in life, in establishing ourselves in this world. Or sometimes it just appears that nothing's going right. Sometimes that happens. And so challenges are there. But for a devotee who takes shelter of the Lord, and this is the only success that we can get in the form of achieving benefits from the challenges, is that it brings us closer to Krishna. It purifies our hearts and shows the glory of the devotee. In this case, the challenges that Hanuman got wasn't about purifying him or bringing him closer to Ram. That was already there. But it showed his glories. It showed his glories. He was crossing the ocean, flying to Lanka, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a huge mountain rises out of the ocean, Mount Mainda. And the mountain offered respects to Hanuman and said, Hanumanji, you know, you have a long trip and you might need a break. On my mountain there's so many nice trees and fruits and flowers and places to rest. So I want to offer you this service. Now, Hanuman was so determined to do his mission that, not considering his own comforts or whatever else was about his own pleasure, he respectfully acknowledged the offering of the mountain, touched it, and then continued on. In other words, he wasn't at all swayed by this particular obstacle. Now, obstacles come in two forms. One is difficulties and one is niceties. Got to watch out for the second one because they're more dangerous. As a sannyasi, I have that experience. The niceties that come by way of other people's wanting to offer some kind of sense gratification or various types of pleasure can also cause one to stumble on the path of devotional service and also block one's determination, may even water that determination down. So a devotee who is fixed in devotional service will see both the niceties and the difficulties as being interferences with one's devotional service. So one has to somehow or other make a discretion on what is beneficial and what is not beneficial for devotionals. Hanuman's only focus was to get and find Sina, get to Lanka as fast as he could. Ram had been waiting for 4 months. He was living in a cave. We went to this cave. It's near the place of Hampi where Hanuman took birth. And in that cave, Ram, there's a deity of Ram in that cave today. And Ram chanted japa for 4 months. He didn't hardly speak to anybody. And what he was chanting was not Hare Krishna. He was chanting the names of Sita. He had felt so much separation from his beloved consort, the internal pleasure potency of the Lord, that his heart was overwhelmed with lamentation, thinking what has happened to her, playing the role of an ordinary person. But in that role, he was absorbed in feeling her separation. And therefore he chanted. And Hanuman knew how much pain the Lord was experiencing in that mood of separation. He took that pain on himself to try to mitigate that pain by being the best of all servants and trying to find Sita as fast as he could. So he wasn't interested in his own pleasures. As he went on further, something else came. A Rakshasi, a powerful Rakshasi. I believe her name was Surasa. Yeah? No, Supanika was the Ravana's sister. It was Surasa or Simika. There were two. Surasa and Simika both appeared from the ocean. One was friendly and one was not. It was Simika. No. Sarasa. Well, anyway. So this Rakshasi, she appeared, and actually she was the friendly one first. Yes, it was the friendly one. I think it was Sarasa. And she said, huh, oh monkey, you're going to try to pass by these waters? You can't do that. Lord Brahma has given me a benediction. He is the charge of the universe, that anyone who comes this must enter into my mouth. So be prepared, monkey. So she opened her mouth to swallow him, and he expanded his form twice the size of her mouth. She opened 10 yojanas, he went 20. She went 30, he went 40. She went 50, he went 60. She went 70, he went 80. She went 90, and then he shrunk down to the size of a little tiny monkey, walked in her mouth, came out and says, I have fulfilled the prophecy. Hare Krishna. No, he didn't say that. But he made the point that, yeah, I have entered into your mouth, so everything is fine. She said, monkey, you are very intelligent, so you have my blessings. Please go on with your mission. So he left. But then that wasn't over. He kept flying, and then another Simika, she comes out, another Rakshasi. Oh, monkey prasad, Hare Bo, time for lunch. So she tries to, swallow him, but the same thing happens. First she grabs his shadow. And because somehow or other, he couldn't move because she had grabbed his shadow so tightly as she was holding on, and he was wondering, why can't I move? Then he realized he was grabbed by this lady, Rakshasi. So he decided, okay, another problem. So now she's about to swallow him, and he does the same thing. He expands himself twice the size of his size, and she opens her mouth wider. He does, it goes back and forth, and again he shrinks down. This time he goes down her throat into her body. He takes her heart, rips it apart, comes out. Finished. One Rakshasi less. And then he goes on with his mission. So he had to deal with these obstacles. So we're learning, actually, the Ramayana is full, not full, saturated, that's a better word, of messages for us as devotees in Krishna consciousness. How many messages are in the Ramayana you can't understand. There are thousands and thousands. And they're all about learning different qualities, principles, proper etiquette, and devotional activities on how to become successful in life. And this one, these obstacles, if we're faced with obstacles, now, is there an obstacle in our life that is too difficult to overcome? Sometimes devotees ask that question, this obstacle I can't surmount, it's too difficult. Why has Krishna given me this obstacle? We can reflect on either ourselves or we know someone who has been given a very difficult obstacle. Does Krishna do that? No. He gives you things that appear to be beyond your ability to overcome, only in appearance. Why? For different reasons, but one of the reasons is to show the glory of the devotee. That the glory, the devotee never gives up the service of the Lord, nor the shelter of the Lord, even in difficulties. Even in difficulties. In fact, when difficulties come, the devotee becomes more devoted to the Lord. Doesn't blame the Lord. Because the devotee also knows nothing can happen without the arrangement of the Lord, either directly or through his different energies. Krishna's in control of both. So therefore, when obstacles do come, the Lord has some, what we say, he's either allowing it or he's wanting it to happen, either one, through his energies, or he makes it happen. But the devotee knows, hey, this obstacle is actually for my benefit, and maybe for the benefit of others also. So these teachings in the Ramayana, these pastimes, especially with Hanumanji, how many obstacles, constantly he was, what we say, faced with obstacles. But he always took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and never gave up his service. Jai Sisi Radha Gokulanandi Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji Ki Jai. Sisi Gornitai Ki Jai. Beautiful Vrindadev Ki Jai. And so, now he's practically reaching Lanka. And he reaches Lanka in the middle of the night. When practically, not everyone, but most of the city of Lanka is asleep. But there is one guard, it's a Rakshasi. Her name is Lankini. And she's guarding. And she sees this monkey coming. And she says, hey, where are you going? You can't come here. This is Ravana's kingdom. And he, you know, he's a little tired of these ladies bothering him. So, so this is the third one in a row. So this one he gets a little fierce with. So he punches her. You don't punch ladies. Please don't take this one as an example. This will cause great offense. Even if the lady is wrong, you don't punch her. Understand this principle. This is a truism. Because if you offend a lady, your whole spiritual life goes whoosh, down the drain. So, yeah. And so, but Hanuman, you know, but she got up and she said, oh, Lord Brahma has told me that someday someone will come and defeat you, and that will be the beginning of the end of Ravana. So, my dear monkey, you have my blessings. Please go on with your mission. She blessed him. And, of course, now he's there, and it's the middle of the night. He has to find Sita. He has never seen Sita. He's only been given descriptions of what she appears. And based on that description, he's looking around. All he knows is she's the most beautiful of all ladies. And so it's the middle of the night, and he's going from looking into the different palaces. They're all made of solid gold. The city of Lanka was just like just full of material opulence. And as he's flying around looking, he sees one palace, and he sees this ten-headed monster laying on the bed with all these ladies laying near him. And he's wondering, is that Sita? No, it can't be Sita. No, it can't be Sita. It can't be. He rules that out. And finally, he starts going different places. And then, I can't find the piece to connect this next part to the whole, but he finds her in the Ashoka Grove. There was a grove near, right in the city of Lanka, that was just on the outskirts where Sita was being kept. Now, Ram had given Hanuman a special ring. This ring was given by Sita to Ram. So both Sita and Ram knew this ring. It was a gift from Sita to Ram. And Ram took that ring and gave it to Hanuman and says, when you find her, she'll know that you're my messenger by giving her this ring. So he has the ring. That's the only connection. And now he sees her. And she's quite haggard. She's like being abused. Her clothes are not very nice. And she's in a very distressed state of mind. The Rakshasis who were harassing her had left for the night, and she's all alone. And she's feeling very miserable. He starts to come closer, knowing that this must be Sita. And as he gets closer, she becomes scared. She sees this person approaching, and immediately she thinks, Ravana is coming in a disguise of a monkey now. And so she gets very scared. She says, don't come near me. And then Hanuman doesn't know what to do. He's like trying to come and help her and give her the message of Ram is looking for her. But now she's afraid. So what does he do? He starts to sing. And he sings the glories of Ram so nicely and so sweet. Hanuman had so many qualities. Although he was such a powerful monkey, he could sing so sweetly with so much love. And when he started to sing the glories of Ram, Sita started to become happy, and then she became emotional. And she said, who are you? You're making me feel so happy. He said, I am the messenger of your pati, your husband, and I have come. He's looking for you, and he doesn't know where you are. Please, I have found you. Now I can take you back. Please jump on my back. I can fly across the ocean. She says, Hanuman, I can't do that. My vow is of chastity is that I will never touch another man. Ravana had forcibly grabbed me, but never will I voluntarily touch another man. So Hanuman said, I can understand. So he said, I will be back. I will be back, and I will give the message to Ram, and then Ram will come and save you. You know, Ram has to do the work. Otherwise, the whole plot is lost. The husband has to save the wife. You know, it's called, what is it called? Patni Raksha. saving the wife, protection for the wife. This is part of Dharma. Husbands must give protection to their wives. This is a very high principle in married life. I was giving a class one time in Croatia, and I was sitting there, and I was talking about this husband-wife program and how the husbands must protect their wives, and it's a foremost duty. So the one husband was sitting there, and his wife was sitting on the lady's side. So all of a sudden, a big giant bee came in the window and started going for this lady. And she starts screaming, and I looked at her husband. I said, "Save her!" And he was a little lost. He couldn't quite understand what I was talking about. Because the bee was huge. And he was just buzzing around her. And then I realized this was just to illustrate this principle that I was talking about. That the bee came just at the right time. So anyway, this is a very important principle of married life. And so, it's Ram's duty to come and do the work. So now Hanuman is thinking, before I go back, I want to do some damage to this city. So he starts breaking everything. He grabs some trees, he pulls some trees from the Ashoka jars and starts smashing everything. He destroys the grove and he starts going to the buildings and smashing the buildings. It creates a ruckus. Some of the Rakshasas wake up and then they realize, they report back to some of their generals, there's this big, gigantic monkey and he's just making havoc of our city. So they come out to try to capture him. But Hanuman is too powerful for them. So he starts, pulverizing all these Rakshasas. So finally, it gets back to Ravana. Ravana wakes up. What's happening? My city is being destroyed by this monkey? So he sends his brother Indrajit. Indrajit's very powerful. He got the name Indrajit because he defeated Indra, the king of heaven. So now he comes out. And seeing the situation, he has a particular arrow. It's a snake arrow, so he fires the arrow. And the arrow goes in a circle, and then it goes right around Hanuman and ties him up tight, and he's like this. Now, could Hanuman be tied up with this? No. But he let himself be captured because he wanted to meet Ravana. So they take him and they bring him in front of Ravana, and there some of the generals are there. Ravana's angry. This monkey has destroyed a lot of the city. And then Ravana says, "Kill him." But Vibhishan's there and he says, no, the principle is you don't kill a messenger. You can torture him, but you can't kill him. So Ravana says, okay. And someone says, well, the monkey's weakest point is his tail. So let's set his tail on fire. So they set his tail on fire. Now Sita is there, and she's understanding that Hanuman's in trouble. So she prays to the fire god that let him feel cool. So although his tail was on fire, because of the mercy of Mother Sita, he was feeling the fire as something cool. But then he breaks through his bonds and jumps and gets away, and with his fiery cool tail, he starts going from building to building and he's setting the whole place on fire, and there's more chaos. Everyone's running around. And then Hanuman, after he does a little damage, he jumps onto the wall of Lanka and he says, if you think this is bad, wait till Ram comes. And then he flies back across the ocean. Jai Shri Hanuman. So that's a little bit about Hanuman's exploits. He's powerful. When he was small, he wanted to chase the sun. He saw the sun in the sky and he thought, the sun looks like a beautiful orange. It's a nice fruit. It looks like it's very juicy. So he started to go after the sun. But when the word got back, he was approaching the sun, the word got to Indra. Indra came on his elephant, and with his thunderbolt, he threw it at Hanuman, hit him right in the chin. So the word Hanuman means what? Broken chin, split chin. That is the actual meaning of the word Hanuman, split chin. So that thunderbolt knocked him all the way back down, and he's unconscious. He's just a little baby monkey. He's about 5 or 6 years old at the time. And then his father, Vayu, sees what happened. He goes to see, and his son is unconscious. He gets so angry. Who is this, you know, Indra? So he decides to retaliate. So Indra, being the powerful wind god, he takes all the wind out of the universe, and there's no air. And when there's no air, I mean, you can live without water for a while, but with air, it's not, it's just a matter of moments. So now the devas are really concerned. So they run to Brahma. Brahma, we can't breathe. Our planets are shaking. You know, everything is in turmoil. Vayu has pulled all the air out. Do something. He said, what do you expect? You hurt his son. Now you have to do something. You have to apologize and somehow or other bring his son back to consciousness. So the demigods came, and with their power, they brought little Hanuman back. They apologized to Vayu. And then, of course, that wasn't enough. They had to show some remuneration. So at that point, Hanuman received all these benedictions from all the different devas. The Surya, the sun god, gave him transcendental knowledge. Indra gave him the benediction that he will not be killed by any weapon. Who else? The different devas. Agni gave him the benediction that he will not be burnt by fire. So many benedictions. And now, he's only a baby, 5-year-old monkey. He's got all these powers. You know, monkeys are mischievous. So now, after getting all these powers, he starts harassing all the sages in the forest. When they're doing their Gayatri, he starts pulling out their feet while they're standing in water and they fall down. He spits water in their face. He takes their clothes so they can't have their clothes when they get out of the bathing. He does all kinds of mischief. Now the sages are getting upset. So they decide to go to his mother. What's her name? Anjana? Yeah, Anjana. So they say, my dear Mataji, you know, your son, we really love him. He's such a nice person and he's got a lot of good qualities, but he's harassing us too much. We can't do anything. So give us permission to curse him. She said, what kind of curse do you want to give him? We want to curse him that he'll forget all his powers unless someone reminds him. She said, fine. So that was Hanuman. When Hanuman was standing on the ocean of India to go across Lanka, he was thinking, how am I going to cross Lanka? Jambavan said, hey, Hanuman, you can do it. Don't you remember you have these powers? Oh, yes, that's right, yes. So when he was reminded, then Hanuman could immediately perform his activities. So he was like that. He was so powerful. Bali tried to fight with Hanuman, and Bali had this benediction that anybody he would fight with, the monkey soldier Bali, he was really powerful. He was the son of Indra. That he would take half that power, energy from his opponent and go into his body. So that opponent would lose their energy and he would become more powerful. That was his benediction. So when Hanuman took the side of Sugriva, and when Sugriva was being harassed by Vali so many times, Sugriva took shelter of this one mountain where Vali couldn't go because Vali was cursed that if he landed on this mountain, he would die. Because many years before that, he killed this, this huge, hideous demon, and he threw this, the carcass of the demon on this mountain, which belonged to a great sage. And the sage said, whoever did this, I curse them that if they come within 4 miles of this mountain, they will die. So Vali understood he couldn't go on the mountain. So Sugriva was protected from Vali. They were fighting them. That's another long story. I don't think we have time to get into that one. And so, and Hanuman became the advisor of Sugriva. He became his main minister. So he was also advising and protecting. So at one time, he protected Sugriva from Vali, and then Vali wanted to fight with Hanuman. This is described in one of the parts of the Ramayana. And in that fight, he was fighting with Hanuman, and he was getting half the power of Hanuman's body. But the power of Hanuman's body was so strong that when it came into Vali, he couldn't handle it, and he just collapsed. So his benediction turned into a curse. And Hanuman was not even slightly even daunted by losing some of his power. That's how powerful Hanuman was. We can't imagine. I mean, he carries a big mountain. Some people think, oh, that's a nice story. It's not a story. I saw, when I was in India, there's a place called Satara. You're familiar with this area, Satara? It's in Maharashtra. Anybody from that area? Satara? Just below, it's in Maharashtra. Where is it? Near Kolhapur, in that area there? There's Satara means seven hills. One of the hills, which is the biggest one, was the tip of the mountain that Hanuman carried when he was bringing it to save Lakshman. That mountain is huge. And that mountain, all the Kavirajas in the area, even today, go to that mountain for herbs so they can make their medicines. It's an amazing place. You can see the tip of the mountain is a huge mountain. Because when Hanuman was flying, the top broke off and it fell into this one area, which is now called Satara, and that mountain is there. So you can imagine the size of the mountain he was carrying. Got it but in the mountain. Huge. So what can we learn from Hanuman? He's a Chiranjeevan. Chiranjeevan means that he does not die. He still is on this planet today. And people do see him. There are 12 people who are living today who are not influenced by death. They're called Chiranjeevans. And Hanuman is one of them. So anywhere you go, practically in the world, there is some form of worship of Hanuman, even in countries outside of India, in Malaysia and many of the... Hanuman is worshipped in different ways. He's such a powerful and popular personality. So we are very, what we say, honored to be in such a situation where we can honor and worship Hanumanji. Because he is very, very dear to Ram. And of course, at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, when everyone was going back to Ayodhya, and Sita and Ram were united, and some of the main monkey generals came with Hanuman and Sugriva to go to Ayodhya with Ram and Sita. When Sita arrived, she was feeling so grateful to Hanuman for what he had done to save her, that she took off this beautiful necklace. She had this beautiful necklace that Ram had given her as a gift. She took that necklace and said to Ram, first she was going to give it to Hanuman. She looked at Ram just for his approval. Ram gave the approval. She offered this necklace to Hanuman as a way to show her appreciation for all the service he had done in bringing her back to Ram. So that's a wonderful expression of love from Sita to Hanuman like that. So these are some of the pastimes of Hanumanji. There are many, many, many more. Please, I'm sure everyone has read the Ramayana. Right? Everyone's read the Ramayana. If you haven't read the Ramayana, I don't know what I should say after that. But anyway, you should read it. The Ramayana is so wonderful. We just finished with Ram's appearance. And the Ramayana is so full of transcendental knowledge and worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Ram. And especially here in Bhaktivedanta Manor, where every day we get the darshan of Sitaram, Lakshman, and Hanuman. It's a wonderful, wonderful darshan. I go to different places. I travel different places around the world, and I think, and I've seen many forms of Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, but this is my favorite. They're worshiped so nicely, and their presence is so very much prominent. They're very, very powerfully there. So we are very fortunate here in Bhaktivedanta Manor to have these forms of the Lord here so we can serve in so many different ways and also play for their blessings. We can play to Hanuman, please Hanuman, destroy the obstacles in my devotional service. This is our prayer to Hanumanji. And he has the power. If he sincerely hears your prayer, then your obstacles will turn into incidents that are even hardly noticeable. So everything is there like that. There's one story where one man, he wanted to get the benedictions of Hanuman. This story illustrates ritualistic worship. You know what ritualistic worship is? Ritualistic worship means I do the rituals, but I don't even know why I'm doing it. My mother did it. Her mother did it. My mother's mother did it. My father did it. We all did it. Why did we do it? I don't know, because everybody else did it. And then we do the pujas, we do the rituals, we do the worships. We count how many circles. One, two, three. I think there's a few more. Okay. 4, 5, 6, 7. That's it. I got it. Okay. Got the number down. In other words, doing the external form of worship but not understanding the mood. Not putting one's heart into it. Just doing it for the sake of doing it. In other words, it becomes a function rather than an expression of devotion. So one man, he wanted to worship Hanuman. So he worshiped Hanuman, and it was understood by his guru. He told him, if you worship Hanuman for 18 days, Hanuman will appear to you and give a benediction. And you follow this form of worship. He gave him his sadhana. So this man was worshiping Hanuman. And Hanuman was so pleased with the worship that after 12 days, Hanuman appeared. Not 18, 12. And Hanuman said, yes, I'm here. How can I serve you? He said, Hanuman, I'm supposed to do my puja for 18 days, so please come back in 6 more. Hanuman didn't come back after that. So this is ritual. Worshipping just according to the rules and regulations and not knowing the reasons behind him. He got the benediction of his worship, but he was more attached to the ritual. So this is also a very significant principle in devotional service, that our worship is about devotion. The rituals are our expression of devotion, and the essence is not the rituals, but they're important. They have to be there. The essence is the bhakti. The bhakti is the essence. Okay, so I wanted to speak about a few other personalities today, but once I got started on Hanuman, I forgot. So I'm sorry. Any questions or comments? How much time do we have before we have to end? 10 minutes? Okay. Should I speak on another personality? Or should we go for questions?
Recognize the quick questions before you continue.
Yeah.
Thank you. My question, and you brought up a lot of things to consider. Going back to, I think you mentioned that Jambavan had been here on the Earth planet for quite some time.
He came at the beginning of the manifestation of the creation. That's mentioned here. Jambavan? I don't know if he's still here. He's not a Chiranjeevan. That I know of, anyway.
Hanuman, you mentioned,
is. Yeah.
One of these Chiranjeevans. So I can only assume in my naivety that although these personalities are still here on the Earth planet, first of all, my materialistic mentality is thinking, well, what did he do? And
well, some people say, now this is just word of mouth, and I've heard it a few times, that people see Vibhishan. Vibhishan's also a Chiranjeeva. He comes out of the ocean in Jagannath Puri to worship Lord Jagannath. And there has been incidents where people have seen this extraordinary person coming from the ocean. So they have concluded that it's, you know, Vibhishan. But the other one, another one who has been cursed as a Chiranjeevan is Asvatthama. He's still here. He lives in Braj now. That's another story. He's chanting the holy name. That's a whole story. So yeah, Narada Muni, Vyasadev, these are all Chiranjeevans. There's a few more. I can't remember all the different personalities. Yes, Prabhu.
If the devotee is trying to practice and following the rules, regulations, rituals, but they're struggling to develop that bhakti in their heart, what advice would you give to the devotee?
Prayer. Prayer is powerful. And seem, you know, what we can do is one thing, but what we can acquiesce by prayer is much greater. If our prayer is sincere, Krishna or Krishna's representatives, they have the power to bestow mercy. So if we sincerely pray, and our prayer has to be in line with bhakti and not praying for something material, but if we sincerely pray, prayer is powerful, because prayer shows that you're eager. Because we're limited. I mean, how limited we are, we don't even understand. But that limitation is overcome by prayer. So one has to try to sincerely pray, and I've seen miracles happen when people sincerely pray. Yeah, so many times devotees have prayed for other devotees, just like we have now. Our wonderful temple president is undergoing some difficulties, and his faith is strong. I mean, he's accepting it as Krishna's mercy, and he knows it'll be a struggle, but the prayers of the devotee will make a difference. If the devotees sincerely pray, then it'll be easy for him. The prayers, Krishna makes these things happen just to bring out our devotion. So we can pray for others, we can also pray for ourselves in order to, you know, develop certain qualities that we want to have in our, or just like one of the recommended things to do is when you do your japa in the morning, just to pray to Srila Prabhupada, your spiritual master, to Lord Chaitanya, to offer nice prayers in order to get the mercy so one can chant nicely and attentively. That's a daily prayer we can make in japa. So yeah, prayer is very powerful. Yeah, thank you. Okay, Should I go on for... I can read something. Today is Balaram's Rasa Yatra. So I'll read something. It's short, but it's the essence. So Balaram took permission. He was with Krishna in Dwarka. So he took permission to go back to Vraj in order to help to mitigate the separation that the devotees in Vraj were, Krishna's eternal associates were feeling. So Lord Balaram took permission and went back to Vrindavan. Remembering the deep friendship he once enjoyed with the cowherd folk of Vrindav, Lord Balaram went alone to Vraj. In Vrindavan, the gopis quizzed Balaram to see if Krishna still remembered them. Lord Balaram stayed for 2 months in Vrindavan, during which he enjoyed his own pastimes with his own gopis on the banks of the Jabuna near, known as, in a place known as Ramgat. So Krishna has his gopis and Ram, and Balaram also has a set of gopis that are different. Intoxicated with joy, Balaram wore beautiful flower garlands and a single earring. Beads of perspiration decorated his pure white smiling face, which was gentle like snowflakes. Wanting to play into the waters of the Jamuna, he summoned Jamuna near, but she disregarded his command, thinking he was drunk from drinking honey. So Balaram had a little party before then. And he was drinking this thing called Varuni beverage, which is honey wine. It's a form of honey that is turned into a liquor, and it is intoxicating. So angered, Lord Balaram began to drag the river to him with the tip of his plow, threatening to split the river into 100 rivulets and in that way bring her close. Lord Balaram chastised Jamuna for not coming when he had told her. Trembling in fear, the river goddess approached Lord Balaram. With her hair loose and forward in a seductive way, covering her breasts, she tried to pacify the Lord, though her thoughts were conjugally based, so she was feeling conjugal attraction. After releasing Jamuna Mayi from his plow, Lord Balaram, along with his gopis, entered the Jamuna to play in those waters. Coming out, the goddess Kani, Lakshmi Devi, presented him with blue garments, ornaments, and a brilliant necklace. So these are some of the activities of Lord Balaram. And today is Balaram's Rath Yatra. So this is the day he arrived in Vrindavan for 2 months of pastimes. So Lord Balaram is none different than Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is none different than Lord Balaram. Many wonderful pastimes. There's one story where when Krishna left the planet, Sridham, one of Krishna's cowherd friends, said, you know, I'm going to wait until Krishna comes back. So he went into a cave. That cave is in Govardhan now. And he waited there. And he was waiting and waiting for thousands and thousands of years, and Krishna didn't return. Finally, one day, after Lord Chaitanya had descended, and Lord Nityananda knew that Sridham was waiting. So he went over to this cave, and he called in, and he said, "Hey, Sridham, Sridham." And Sridham said, "Who's calling me?" He said, "Me, it's me, Balai." "Balai, oh, really?" So he came out, and he saw this person. He said, "You're not Balai, you're so small." Because during the time of, you know, Krishna, people were big. Now, Nityananda was tall, but you know, Kali Yuga had shrunk the size of the personalities. So he says, "You're not." He said, "Yeah, I'm Balaram. I've come to see you." "Well, there's only one person. I don't believe you. But anyway, I'll test you. There's only one person that could beat me in a race, and that was Balaram. So let's race." So Nityananda said, "Okay." So they went a race around Govardhan Hill. So Sridham takes off, and Nityananda's running along. So Sridham is running, and Nityananda is running alongside of him in a very nonchalant, very relaxed way, like he's not even putting out any effort. And so, and Sridham is trying to go faster, and at the same time, Nityananda is not even trying to beat him, he's just trying to stay with him, just to let him know that, hey, you know, I told you, I'm Balaram. And finally, when they got to the end, you know, then he said, yeah, you must be Balaram. Then Nityananda revealed his form as Balaram to Sridham. And that's a wonderful pastime. That happened when Lord Nityananda was here. Okay, so today is also the appearance day of Shamananda Pandit. His life story is quite amazing, so please take some time today. And also Vamsi Vadan. Vamsi Vadan was a servant of Lord Chaitanya who carved Dameshwar Mahadev, that deity that is in Kolhapur. Not Kolhapur, but Koladweep in the islands. And that deity was worshipped by Vishnu Priya when Lord Chaitanya had taken sannyas. I'm sure some of you have seen that deity, a beautiful deity in Dameshwar Mahadev temple. Did you go? Yeah, beautiful. He's got his arms like this. So Vamsi Vadan was the sculptor who actually put that deity together by the direction of Lord Chaitanya to give his good wife, Vishnu Priya, worship when he had left and taken sannyas. And she worshipped that deity through her whole life like that. All right, sorry to hurry through these pastimes. They're all full of nectar, but we don't have so much time. So thank you very much. Sri Hanuman Ji Ki. Jai Sri Balaram Ji Ki. Sri Shamananda Pandit Ki. Vamsi Vadan Ki. Gaur Premanande Hari. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.